It's good to have our worship team, amen? Last week we had fun, but it was rough. Oh my gosh, it's such a blessing to have everybody healthy. So before we go any further, I just, we've had a family with us for a while. The Pritchards have been, I don't even know how long you guys have been here, but you got Sophia and CJ and then Chris and Steph, and they're leaving us. They're having to move, I think, to California, right? Is it back to California? And I don't want to embarrass them. I'm not going to have you stand up. I don't want to do any of that stuff. But I just want to say it's been an honor for you to be part of our church family. And can I just say a prayer? Would that be okay just to pray a blessing over you guys? Would that be appropriate? Okay, bow your hearts with me. Father, we just love you. And Lord, I just thank you for the family of God. And Lord, I thank you for this family. I thank you for Steph and Chris, Lord God, and I thank you for their children, CJ and Sophia, Lord. They plugged into youth groups so amazingly, and just they're just part of our family. And Lord, they're having to go and move away from us. And Lord, we just want to pray blessing over them. Lord God, I pray that you would direct their steps, Lord God, that their travel would be safe, that everything that needs to take place would take place smoothly and perfectly, Lord, in your will. And just keep them safe and bless them, Lord God, and everything that they put their hands to. And we just give you the praise and the glory for them in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. We love you guys so much. So today is our one day. And some of you guys will remember this guy. Dear friend of mine, I don't even remember 2012 that I was introduced to him when I was in Libya as a youth pastor. And we just kind of hit it off. And he's a Montana guy by heart. He married into it. His wife is from Troy, Montana, which was a stone throw away from Libby, where I was at. And so that, I think we were just kindred spirits in that. We both love to golf. We both love to hunt and fish. We both love coffee. He's a better golfer than me. But, Jeff, we just got a little bit of a gift for you. Just to say thanks for coming all the way here from Missouri. And it's coffee. Come on up here, brother. It's coffee because he's a coffee connoisseur. And we just, from New Life Family to you, we just want to say thank you for coming and blessing us. And he is going to be our speaker this morning. He's going to be talking about all kinds of amazing things, God things. And I got to tell you this story really, really quick. So, yeah, it won't embarrass him. So we had been, he was here when we were in the old building. And we were just kind of driving around town and I was showing him the town and things like that. And we had drove by this building and he said, man, is that church still? I said, no, I think that they're on hiatus or whatever that word is, that they were having a hard time with getting a new pastor and stuff like that, the Dutch Christian Reform, and they blessed us with this building. But this guy is the one that prayed, said, Lord, I pray that everything would go smoothly and that they would be able to move into this building. And can I just tell you that God answered the prayer? That it was smooth and it was perfect. It was amazing. I loved the heart of the leadership of the Dutch Christian Reform and everything just worked perfectly. But it was this guy that prayed over this building that we would be able to secure the financing and be able to move into here. So, we've just got this thing and it's been funny. So everything that I want now, I go, Jeff, will you pray? Oh, no. First mistake, but no. But will you guys just give a warm New Life welcome to my friend Jeff?
Yeah. Love you, dude. You are the man. You are the man. Right on. Hey, our kids are going to come back up. Good morning, New Life. So it's so good to be with you. Pastor Dave, thank you. And honestly, I am just the guy working at Subway, okay? Been in ministry a long time. Got an amazing wife, three daughters, three granddaughters, two son-in-laws, female cockapoo. And I get up every day, just like you, need Jesus more desperate than ever. And I'm really happy to report to you that every place I've been in America in the last 6 months, God has saved people. He has healed people. And churches are hungry. They're like, hey, we're done with the status quo. Let's have fun serving Jesus. And again, as I said 2 years ago when I was with you, make it super hard to go to hell from Conrad. And if they're going to go to hell, they got to move. So, not to California. You want me to just say a prayer right now and just be done? Seriously, so I am a California boy. I was born in L.A., raised in NorCal. Got saved at a little AG church in the Northeast Bay. And the rest is history when I was 18 years old. So God is up to some great, cool things. So, okay, children's workers and children's leaders, haul all those kids up here. I don't need two groups of kids. Just split that group evenly. Bring all the kids up. And I need half on this side and half on this side as fast as you can go. And I'm going to need our children's workers to open this bag first. All right, just make a line right down the middle and sit. Sit everybody down. Yeah. Yo, yeah, you're just responding to the message so quick. I would just say the little girls are going to get it all first. So where's my workers at? So come and help me. So you know what you're doing?
No.
I need a solid line like right here. I need you guys to go that way. Could you guys just slide that way? Not you guys. Right there. Watch this. This is one of... Okay, perfect. Yeah, just two. So that side. Yeah.
You're on this side.
There you go. There you go. There you go. Yeah, slide over there. You're good. You're perfect, dude. Right there. Yeah, just hold on. Everybody's getting two pieces of candy. Everybody. Huh? You want eight pieces of candy? Well, I like your faith, bro. Everybody, okay, hold on. Everybody be patient. I don't want to step on a child. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, sir.
Watch this. Did I just tag you in the head? I'm sorry. Okay, right here, everybody. Yeah, perfect. Awesome. Did everybody get two pieces of candy? Okay, wait a second. Hold on, hold on. Raise your hand if you did not get two pieces of candy. Raise it real high. Actually, you're not supposed to do that. So, raise your hand really high. Okay, raise your hand. Put your hand down. Wait. Raise your hand if you got two pieces of candy. Okay. Put your hands down. How many of you like to eat food? Okay, that's a dumb question, right? Does anybody like pizza?
No.
Okay, does anybody like mac and cheese? Does anybody... Okay, my new favorite. So, does anybody like chicken strips or chicken... Okay, you can put your hands down. How many of you guys know that in the world that there's a lot of hungry kids that don't get enough food to eat, right? Amen? Yeah. Okay, so every day, a lot of kids struggle because they don't have enough to eat. And so what we're going to do today in church... Definitely. Good sermon illustration right there. So when you don't... So when you're going on in your day today, so... All of you got two pieces of candy. So today, your one day to feed the world is you're going to help feed lots of kids around the world. So what do we do when we have more than enough? Do we do what, adults? Thank you. So this side of the room, you got two pieces of candy and that side got none? So what do you think needs to happen right now? You. Share. You want to come out here? You are the ultimate example. And you're, how many pieces do you have? You have two? What are you going to do right now? Go for it. All right, hang on. All right, and you go sit down. Give her a hand.
Houston, the illustration is working.
Okay. So, so what are the rest of you going to do? Go for it. Everybody gets one. Everybody had two gets one. Does everybody on this side? Oh, look. And you still have one. Yeah, just you just got to share one. Did anybody over here not get one? There you go. Let's give it up for our kids right now. You guys can go sit down. Awesome. Way to go. Give me a high five. Beautiful kids. Your kids. Did you get one, buddy? All right. Cool. You got one? Right on, bud.
You did?
All right. So we're going to attempt to get this crowd back. And I just want to say a goofy illustration, important for the kids, but you all know that we are dealing with a daily disaster at Convoy of Hope with just serving those that are poor and suffering around the world. You guys have been an amazing strategic partner to help us accomplish that goal. And they're just like our kids. They're just like your kids, my grandkids, my kids. They need a chance. They need those opportunities to grow and to learn. And of course, food is a big, big part of that. So before just outside Dave and Charity, I want to say thank you for your friendship, your partnership. I love your pastors. Don't you love your pastors? Come on. Come on. I have, Mary and I, so this is, before we get to my family and stuff, I wanted to give you just a quick update on all that Convoy is doing around the world. I'm going to give you a Ukraine report, a Syria-Turkey report, a Hurricane Ian report. I'm going to give you a report from the field, how many kids we're feeding. But I want you to check this video out right now.
Prepare for mass evacuation.
Devastated the region.
Look at the world. Online, in the news, on your drive home from work, you see it. People are suffering. They're doing their best, but it doesn't seem to matter. They feel completely alone, asking, how am I ever going to make it? Is there anyone out there who cares about me? We say yes. At the heart of Convoy of Hope's work is our driving passion to use kindness as a force for change. We are the volunteer delivering relief after a disaster. We are the haircut or fresh pair of shoes. We are the multitude of people who care about their neighbor and want to do something meaningful that may just impact another person's eternity. So, look at the world again. Really look at it. Through the hardship and despair and hurting is a hope that is waiting, demanding to burst forth. And it's not complicated. We believe that the problems that are plaguing the world can begin to be solved one small act of kindness at a time. Every meal served, every seed planted, and every smile sincerely given adds to the revolution of compassion we are so proud to be a part of. So look at the world one more time. The problems are big, no doubt, but the solution? Oh, it's beautifully simple. And you? You're a part of it.
Yes, you are. So New Life in Conrad. So I love coming back to Montana, as Pastor Dave mentioned. You are part not only of just this revolution of compassion and kindness, but making Convoy one of your strategic partners. The stories that I'm going to share today, even the message, it really belongs to you. It doesn't belong to us, because without you, there is no us at Convoy of Hope. So your prayers, your partnership, your giving, your generosity, your kindness that I sense in this place, you know, this place is alive. And I've always felt when I came years ago, I met Dave and Charity when they were in Libby. And then when I came here, they were first senior pastoring. And I had just finished up lead pastoring for 24 years. I've been at Convoy for almost 14. And I just had a heart for this place. But anytime I can come back to Montana, as I mentioned, my wife was born in Yakima, raised in Troy and Libby. And her dad worked in the lumber mill, and her mom taught at Troy High School. and her three brothers still live in the state. And of course, I took Mary away once we met at Bethany Bible College in Santa Cruz. The rest was history. So I just want to say thank you. This is the main reason why I do what I do. Check these people out real quick. So kids, if you want to see my kids, look at the screen right now. So this is my little tribe. I've got three beautiful daughters, two son-in-laws, and three granddaughters. Next slide. Wilder on the left, Hadley on the right, and the newest addition, Molly Jewel. She is the CEO of the family. She's that tall. She walks in the room, owns it. I'm going to definitely either hire her or someday or put her in charge of the foundation because she just doesn't know the word no. And she's full of life and full of energy. And so just love her so much. And those are many reasons why I get up every day. But here's another reason why I get up every day. Every single day, 16,000 children perish from the earth because they don't have something good to eat. Almost 26,000 people, including children and adults, perish every day because they don't have access to clean drinking water. So at Convoy of Hope, it's like, hey, wait a second. I thought we were talking about Jesus and Bible stuff. Well, if you read your Bible and you see the works of Jesus, you will quickly realize that he was in the business of showing compassion, which built a bridge to the gospel to transform a heart. So at Convoy of Hope, it's not rocket science what we do, but what we do it very carefully, very calculated, so that the church is our partner and souls are saved every single day. So it's a demonstration of God's love followed by a presentation of the good news. And so we're so excited for where God has us right now as an organization, as a ministry. We're all over the earth right now. I'm going to give you a few of those stories. Here's our fleet packing. This is some of our truck fleet packing food. Hurricane Ian, we were just in Florida. We're just wrapping up operations after months of work down there where it leveled the west coast of Florida, Naples and that whole area down there. So we're just finishing that up. We distributed millions of pounds of food, water, and supplies. Volunteers, and of course, thousands of individuals have been served. On to Turkey and the earthquake in Turkey. So this video, I've only shown this one time. It's kind of just an open-ended video, but check this out on Turkey and Syria earthquake.
Convoy of Hope is responding to the multiple earthquakes that have killed more than 20,000 people in Turkey and Syria. A powerful 7.8 magnitude quake rocked that region last Monday, leveling buildings, trapping thousands and thousands of people beneath the rubble. Tragically, the death toll will rise as rescuers attempt to find survivors. But snowy winter weather and more than 300 violent aftershocks have made rescue efforts frustratingly slow. Convoy of Hope is in the process of delivering food, water, and other essentials to the impact zone. Clothing, tents, sleeping bags, diapers, and baby formula are all in high demand. Fuel will soon become a major concern. This is a dark time. The tragedy of what has happened and the amount of human suffering is really difficult to process. In moments like these, hope can feel far away, but we know God is at work, even in the darkest of times.
And your One Day to Feed the World offering helps us mobilize to get resources, food and water and essentials to a disaster like that. And so we have teams on the ground, of course, in Turkey, not in Syria, because of course it's a restricted nation. And so we're getting resources and relationships together to move into Syria, but we're also on the ground in Turkey. Churches in the U.S. really wanted to do something. And so we're picking a lot of loads up and of course for our international shipment. And I just want to do a shout out here. I don't normally do this, but, we got a call from FedEx and UPS the other day and they just said, just bring your containers to our yard. We'll throw them on our big dog and we'll fly them over there pro bono. So we just shipped our 27th container on their massive cargo planes. And so we're not waiting around for the ships to get there. It's being airlifted in. And then, of course, our partners on the ground are the church and people, not the government institution, but the government has to okay everything that we do. And this is one fascinating thing. The mayor, one of the mayors that we worked with, is a spirit-filled Christian in Turkey. And he just said, I didn't know there were this many Christians in the world who are responding to his country in their time of devastation and brokenness. So it's bringing a lot of encouragement to the body of Christ there, your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so just thankful for your involvement, really, in at Convoy of Hope and what we're doing to really bring transformation and hope to so many people around the world. Moving on, I want to just move to Ukraine. There's just a few pictures I'm going to show you of Ukraine here. And thank you to the gentlemen in the booth back there who are assisting me. Over 8 million Ukrainians have fled from their country since a year ago this week when this unprovoked war took place when Russia attacked Ukraine. 7 million people displaced. Of the refugees currently taking shelter, most of them are women and children. Many of Ukrainian men stayed to fight or assist in other ways. In fact, my daughter and son-in-law's pastor is Ukrainian, and he took a sabbatical from his church here in America and went back and enlisted in the Ukrainian army and fought for 4 months. He's an Assembly of God credential-holding minister. He returned about 4 months ago, Pastor Peter, and shared his story with us so he could stand in arms. But of course, revival is taking place in Ukraine, something you will not hear in the newsreels. As churches are doing distribution with the resources, they're demonstrating God's love to people and sharing the message of the gospel. So we're dealing with the greatest migration in the history of Europe since World War II. So that's millions of people displaced into almost 14, 15, 16 different countries around Ukraine. Many residents are without power, heat, reliable access to necessities. Many resorted to melting snow now for drinking water and burning trees for warmth. Praying for Europe this winter. It's going to be a very, very difficult winter. It is right now. And the interesting part about this is there's no major refugee camps. What's interesting is people are welcoming folks into their homes, churches, businesses, and places of residence. Here's a story. So the week of the battle, as Kyiv began to be bombed, a mom decided to leave in her car with her 8-year-old son and 3-year-old daughter. And they got in their car. Their car broke down about halfway to Poland, so they decided to get out on foot. There were a lot of other people on foot. And they got to the Polish border, and at the border was this string of vehicles and vans and horse-drawn oxen and carts. No kidding. Just use your imagination as far as you could see. And as they crossed into Poland, this family came up to this Ukrainian family and said, hey, we are so sorry. They said, we'd like to offer some hospitality to you. Do you need food? Do you need shelter? Do you need clothing? The mom said, all of the above. And they were wondering why the kids had two red rings around their lips. And the mom asked, she said, is everything okay with your kids? And she said, yeah, that's just dried ketchup. We've survived on a number 10 can of ketchup for 5 days. And that's all my kids have eaten for 5 days is ketchup. Now, to some kids, that's like, hallelujah, I love ketchup, right? But not for 5 days. And most of you know it is a desperate, dire situation. So Poland is the least evangelized country in Eastern Europe. Ukraine is the most evangelized country in Eastern Europe. So God, in his sovereignty, takes something that is horrible and awful and bad, right? And he turns it to good because he sends 7.3 million evangelists into Poland. The Polish open their hearts, their homes, their churches, their businesses, whatever, community centers, and the Ukrainians brought the gospel while the Polish were serving food, giving shelter, and providing aid to their brothers and sisters. And that's just how good our God is. That's what God's doing in the world right now. And I think we should give him thanks for that. Yes. You're doing one day. I hope you're participating today. Just do your best. I do one day to feed the world every year. So does my wife. My wife's a social worker, psychologist, and counselor. She's also a credentialed minister. She's a lot of things. I married up. That's good for me. She goes to work on a certain day of the year, and she wears her one-day sticker. I work for Convoy. All of her social worker and teachers and administrators are going, what's this one-day thing? She said, oh, yeah, we're just helping the poor and suffering around the world through the ministry of Convoy of Hope, and we just love doing that. And they're like, oh, tell me more. My wife has had more opportunities to share the gospel with people because of that little sticker on her clothing as she goes to work. Well, we're feeding a lot of kids right now. Our driving passion is for kids all over the world to have food. So check these children's feeding picks out. These are some of the beautiful kids. So this was in Haiti at the Good Samaritan Orphanage, one of many that we serve. The kids stand and they kind of showboated for us before they ate their food. And this is a typical Haitian step, though. They would stand and they would pray. The little kid right in the middle is the one that's saying the prayer in Haitian Creole. And his prayer went like this. Dear God, thank you for the food. Dear God, thank you for Convoy of Hope. Dear God, keep letting Convoy of Hope bring the food. Amen. And they sat down, and all you could hear was plastic spoons on plastic plates, and not one bean and not one speck of rice was left on those plates. The pastors that were with me were pretty much destroyed after this moment. They got out into the van, and I could see visibly, just like big grown men, pastors, men of faith and power, big tears going down their face. I said, what's God doing in your heart? And they said, we didn't know. We had no idea there's this much food insecurity in the world. And at some point, I either get real glad that they had their eyes opened, but part of me is angry because we have been so self-absorbed in the Christian faith in this country, we have forgotten why we're here and what we're supposed to be doing. We think church is about us. We think it's just the good ship, Holy Ghost. Jesus is better than a weenie roast. He doesn't care about the color of your carpet or chairs. Half the world's going to hell today. We got a job to do. A third of the world goes hungry every night. We got a job to do. And yet you're saying, Jeff, the guilt meter doesn't work with me. It doesn't work with me either. I'm just telling you the facts today that where you live, nobody has it better than us. Okay, three people. That's good. That's a majority. Nobody has it better than us. Wherever you are today, you live in the United States of America. And God has blessed us to be a blessing. And it's a blessing to be a blessing. We're feeding 565,000 kids in 39 countries every single school day in almost 2,000 schools and orphanages. Your one day made that possible. You say, well, I just gave an offering. I just gave one day's wage or whatever you gave. I was in Des Moines, Iowa not long ago at Reach Church. And I was preaching the third service. I was exhausted, man. Like all the blood was gone. And I was just like, God, I need food. And I'm not built for three services at high octane. And this, after the third service, I'm just like kind of gumbied out at the altar. I'm like, I just need to sit down and eat something. And this very well-dressed couple comes up to me and said, hey, can we talk to you for a minute? And I said, yeah. And they said, yeah, we can't do this one day thing. I said, like, I was fully alert and on at that point. And I said, what? You can't do one day? And they said, no, we really felt like God told us to do 2 or 3 days. Is that okay? I'm like, let me pray about it. Amen. Yes. It's okay. I learned that he's a nephrologist, a kidney doc, and she's a surgeon. I'm like, that's a good one day offering. And I went back to the pastor and I said, hey, who are those people? He goes, I have no idea. Today's their first day. And they tripled their one day offering where we just said, hey, just give one. And they're like, yeah, we can't do that. We felt like God spoke to us and said, you've got to do something extravagant. And they said, you know what? The doctor, both of them, I said to the man, I said, sir, how does that feel? And he goes, Jeff, we're never missing a meal.
My kids are never missing a meal. And he said, so we just wanted to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. Mark Buntain said this, an empty stomach has no ears. 59 years ago, Mark Buntain boarded a ship and packed his belongings in a coffin with he and his wife, and they sailed to Calcutta. And upon arrival, they pulled out their bags, which was two cases and two coffins. And they said, why did you pack your belongings in these? They said, because we're here to stay. We're not going home. This is a one-way ticket. So it really impressed the Indians, like, wow, these people are crazy. Do they know they're moving to like a developing nation? And he gets to Calcutta and he sets up shop like a good pastor would, starts preaching and teaching, and he's realizing people are not listening. They are not responding. In fact, they're sweating and their hair is different colors and some of their bellies were distended. And he realized these people just need something good to eat. So he comes back to America on a quick flight. Thank you, DC-8 or DC-10, whichever was invented first. I'm not sure. I think it was the 8. He flies home on this treacherous flight home, starts fundraising in America. Every church he went to, people were like, why are you doing that? I thought you were supposed to be preaching the gospel, getting souls saved, making heaven bigger, the kingdom bigger. And he's like, yeah, I want to. But he said, these people are hungry and they need dignity and they need food. It was then that he quoted, an empty stomach has no ears. Because when your stomach aches, your head pounds, your mind's in chaos, you need sustenance. You just need something good to eat. You ever get to that point where I get hangry? So I got my middle daughter, Audrey, she's kind of wired like me. And whenever we're together and we start getting like little snappy and in the flesh and not the best ideal Christian behavior, we both look at each other and go, we need to get some food to change our attitude right now. Can you imagine eating one meal a day with micronutrients in it and that holding you for the day? Because that's it. That's all they get. In a lot of these places, where you live should not determine if you love, you live. So a mom who told us, thank you for feeding our kids in Nicaragua. And this is what she said. She goes, thanks for feeding our kids, but we don't want you to feed our grandkids. Don't feed our grandkids. We need to have a better way of life so we get to feed our grandkids. In other words, there's not dependence. And so I'm going to throw this challenge out to you. It's one thing to show compassion, but it's another thing to create a culture of dependence. And at Convoy, we fight against just the handout mentality. We fight against that because you and I can have dignity. We can go to work, make our own money, buy our own food, provide for those that we love. But there's a lot of people in the world that cannot do that today. Here's a few of our agriculture picks, some of our amazing farmers. So I'm in farm and country. This, I think it's called the Golden Triangle. I was telling Mary where I'm at. She, of course, was raised in the mountains over there on the west side. And she goes, how's the day today, honey? I go, the sun's out. I'm talking to her while I'm driving up. And it was really icy. In fact, I saw a car and a trailer go off the road. Nobody was injured, but the police were there quickly, state troopers. And I just told her, she said, well, what's it like, Jeff? And I just said, well, the sun's out. And I said, it's cold, but it's beautiful. And I said, honey, I'm in Montana. And she said, I know. And she said, it's a lot of agriculture there. And I said, yeah, these people understand farming and ag. Farmers growing more and better food. Look at these farmers, some of them in the pictures, some of the net result of the crops. And of course, getting into, best practices with our farm. We have about 23,000 farmers in our ag program that we've trained all over the world. And sustainability is the key. On to women's empowerment. So food, feeding kids, responding to disasters, training farmers. And then this is a big one, women and girls empowerment. So I have been doing women's empowerment for 32 years. So starting with actually 37 years with my wife, but 32 years with my oldest daughter, because God has given me girls. And raising girls is very different from raising boys. Those of you that don't know that, there'll be a class for you someday. You can learn that. And so the funny thing is, almost all of my guy friends, with the exception of the president of Convoy, have boys. Like my closest friends, they have boys. And they're like, Anderson, what's it like, man? Are you in therapy? Yeah. Do you have a support group? God will give you wisdom, but I will tell you this. Women and girls don't have the opportunities like they have in America in other countries. So strength, dignity, hope, skills to women and girls, not to usurp anyone's authority or to dominate. You know, this is not that message. That's another message. But why is Convoy actively working with women and girls? Because we're seeing moms at the center of that home. When you empower a mom, the kids get blessed. The dads, many times the dads kind of are coming along in that, but many of the dads are displaced. They're working in other places, sending money back. They call it a toothpick economy, where it's just built on toothpicks and anything can just make it crumble in a lot of these countries that we're working in. And so the women and children really are left destitute in a lot of those places. One of the moms in Nicaragua said to us, she goes, Convoy taught me a new word. And we said, what is that word? And she goes, tomorrow. Never thought about that. Never really thought about tomorrow. Because the future and the hope that they have was hustling for the day just to get food in their belly, nourishment in their bodies, so they could think and do something productive. For many people, doing something productive is keeping their heart beating every day. It's not going to work. It's not necessarily making an impact. It's staying alive. In fact, in Central America, during COVID, we met a mom who had four kids, and she was trying to go to another country within Central America, and she was on foot. As she was crossing this big bridge over this jankety bridge over this mighty rushing river, she got to the other side, and there was a line at this tent. And it was this little red top tent, and the women would go in there, and it looked like they were doing some kind of business. But then she didn't see on the other side when the women came out, they were bald. Because the women were selling their hair so they could get a few dollars to feed their kids. So all through this town in El Salvador, we saw bald-headed women. And we looked at each other, and some of the other guys were like, that is totally unacceptable. They're selling their hair. So guess what, Convoy? We came in, we partnered with the local church, we set up a community feeding center, and those women are no longer selling their hair because they're able to get something good to eat. It's that extreme. Met a dad from Asia who sold his daughter. And this is tough for the kids, but I'm going to say it because you can translate this. So they could eat in Nepal. And I thought, it doesn't even compute to me. It's like, you know, shame on you and shame on us. And I sat back and I just said, God, the desperation of stopping something but starting the cycle of hope. So we want to stop that, amen, but we want to start a cycle of hope, breaking the cycle of hopelessness in Jesus' name. Well, here's a few stats, and we're going to pause right here because this slide is pretty powerful. And you guys have made all of this happen. And I know those are just numbers, but really, just think about the one person that was impacted. So that many kids served, women empowered, farmers, community events across America. And by the way, we're seeing God open windows and open doors in America right now. In America's cities, we're able to bring in the outreach model. And communities are just opening their arms and saying, we need some hope. We've been dealing with hopelessness for a long, long time. And how many of you just sense that God is just, the wind is blowing again across this country? And there's some real tough spots that we're working in right now. And then, of course, you can see the women's empowerment, of course, the kids fed. And that is something to celebrate, all that Jesus is doing in our world. I wanted to kind of wrap up my time with a story. The other day, I was filling out a form. And this form had multiple choices and boxes on it. And as I was filling the form out, I read, you know, the A, B, C, or you could check D which was all of the above. And most of the checked boxes were all of the above. I don't even know what I'm talking about. It just saves a lot of time. You don't have to go through it. So I just started checking all of the above, all of the above. And I get to the end of this form, about 70 questions. It was goofy. It was online. And I submitted the form. And I closed my computer, and the Lord gave me this message that I'm about to give to you. There's a lot of boxes that we have to check as Christians. So if you're here today, there's essentially three chairs, one of three chairs that you're going to sit in for the rest of your life. First chair is a non-Christian. I pray, so I've never met an atheist on his deathbed yet. I've done a lot of deathbed conversions, prayers, and funerals of just guys that just, and gals that just did not really, they weren't nice people. And yet, I believe Jesus can change the heart. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. So for a moment, just to think, hey, I'm so good. I don't do that. I don't sin. I don't drink, smoke, or chew, or go with those who do. Great. That doesn't get you into heaven. What gets you into heaven is what you do with Jesus. Period. So is he your savior? So that's the first box. It's like, all right, Jesus is my savior.
Yep.
And then he's my healer and my baptizer. But I can't check that other box. I can't check the box that says, is he the Lord of my life? Because there's so many areas of that are not surrendered in my own life. And I was so convicted, you guys. I just kind of sat back and went, man, God, you'll let anybody preach in churches in America, won't you? And I didn't get an answer, thank God. And I just went, Lord, deal with my heart that's so contaminated right now with fear and worry and sin and selfishness. And I just had to come to Jesus. And for about 4 days, I just let this lie. And I said, God, I'm thankful today that you don't call the qualified, but you qualify the called. So he called us to serve him, and he will empower you and equip you to do what you didn't think you could do. It's amazing what Jesus will do. So we all want to go to heaven. We all want God's blessing. We all want peace, love, joy, and happiness. Jesus saves. But what about making Jesus the Lord of your life? So here's an all the above box to check, but here's the first box that I had to check. All that I have. So if you're taking notes, you can write these ideas down or in the verses. So God's saying, hey, Jeff, I want all that you have. I'm like, pretty much everything, right? Yeah, everything. So it all belongs to him. Jesus, God is the owner. We're the stewards and managers. So my dad passed away September 7th last year. I flew a long, hard day and a half to get there, and I was there for the last 5 hours of his life. And as I walked in the hospice, the room he was hospicing in, the hospice nurse said, get up there close, Jeff, and speak into his ear. He's 97 and a half. He's breathing on his own, no assistance, breathing real hard. And as I walked in the room, he just slowly began to inhale and exhale. His eyes were closed. He's fairly checked out. Jesus was taking him home. And it was in that moment that I realized, man, I'm the next generation. This kind of bites, right? Like, really does for my older brother, but anyway, I'm the middle guy. And God said, and my dad lived the life that said, hey, all that you have. Well, 2 months earlier, I was in his hospital room where he was recovering, and we were talking, and he was on a breathing machine and stuff, and he took everything off, and he just switched. He snapped over at me, and he goes, son? And I said, yeah, and I'm going through files and pictures. I'm just in his hospital room, you know, drinking Kool-Aid, whatever. He said, all the foundations are set to go forward from here. He said, I've got all the cornerstones set in my life. And I said, Dad, explain what you mean. He goes, I made Jesus the Savior and Lord of my life as soon as after I met your mom. And he said, we've tried to live for God. And he said, now everything that happens from here on out is on you. And he turned over and he took a nap. And I'm sitting in the hospital room going, oh no, I'm going on the other side. I got up, got back around. He was deep sleep and I wasn't going to wake him up. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me and say, all that you have, it's mine. Will you give it back to me? Let me bless it, because I'm going to give it back to you. He doesn't keep it. God gives it back to us with everything that we surrender. This is how crazy cool it is to serve God. It all belongs to Him. Look at Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. So that's the difference. Everything that we have, if you're a believer, man, commit it to God. Your business, your bank account, your kids, your marriage. You know what? You don't need a new spouse. You need a new marriage. I've really felt like I had to say that today. Because all the way up here from Denver, on this little United wounded goose they call the plane, a lady went through 8 bags of what she was throwing up in right next to me. I kept getting up and stealing bags from other seats. I didn't ask. I wasn't in the ask mode. I was taking because I thought, I have been puked on. I don't want to get puked on tonight. All right. You have kids. You understand that. You're a youth pastor. You understand that. In fact, we were on our way to youth camp. We're bringing about 70 kids to youth camp in Colorado. Driving one of the church vans with a trailer full of suitcases and sleeping bags. And Nikki Newman decides we all go in and invade a 7-Eleven, 70 youth. We bought chips and pickles and Coke and candy and sugar. And like everybody's just getting sugared and snacked up on the way to camp. It was awesome until we hit I-70 going through the Glenwood Canyon through Colorado. And now I'm just shaking up the jar. And Nikki Newman decides she's sick, but before she could even get off the van, I don't know why I'm telling you this story. Nikki Newman decides that she can't get out of the van hard enough, and all I can see in slow motion is Nikki Newman in the back. I'm driving down the road 55 miles an hour, and I just see her projectile hurl a pickle all the way up to the front of the van, and it bounced off the console, and I'm like, thanks for equipping the call, Jesus. Because right now, being a youth pastor is not worth it in this van, because it smells really bad with 15 teenagers, but just add a little vomit to it. Why am I telling you that? Because last night, I reached over to Regina, and I said, Regina, plane's packed. I said, Regina, can I just say a prayer for you? And she goes, please do. So I laid my hands on her, and I mean, it's quiet on the plane. I said, dear Jesus, everybody just froze in my section on the plane. The couple in front of me were like, looking through the crack, trying to see. And I'm behind them, and the wife sees me, the dad sees the sick Regina, who's going on about her 5th bag. And I just said, God, answer this prayer for Regina so that when it does get answered, we will know that you're the only one who could have done this. We're counting on you in Jesus' name. Crazy, desperate. She stopped throwing up. She stopped throwing up for almost the rest of the flight. She had a few dry heaves. She'd started in San Antonio. She's been throwing up since San Antonio. Denver, Gray Falls. And I went, Lord, why do you do that? What's the point? What's the lesson here? Because the lesson is that we all belong to God, and there might have been a person named Regina who needed some encouragement at that moment. And like, she's white as a sheet. I thought she was going to die or at least pass out. But she didn't. She walked off the plane. God says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Work hard, play hard, pray hard, love hard, encourage and serve and give. And God's asking us today, what is in your hand? All that I have. Two, all that I do. Your decisions, your time, your gifts, your finances. The question is, what are you doing with your time, your talents, those resources? And listen, I know, you know, it's a beautiful day. I'm impressed with the crowd that's here right now. Maybe some people are out, you know, doing their thing or just had other plans. But the question is today, what are you doing? All that you do. Next point. Next slide, guys. All that I do. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord everything you do. Then he will make your plans succeed. So the only way to be successful as a Christian is to check the box, all that I do, and to say, God, everything I do, I commit to you. So every day, this is what Anderson does. This is my secret sauce. I'm going to share it with you. Every day, I do this. I say, God, you know, you pray, you let God know your needs, and you get alignment, and then God communicates back to you his will for your life. Does God answer every prayer? No. Pastor Dave, I have a track record here. Like, I'm 2 for 2. Regina and the church. But the point is, God doesn't answer every prayer I pray, but he may be answering it in the way that maybe I don't understand. It's a yes, no, or wait. There's just three answers. I've prayed for people to get healed and they didn't get healed. Does that mean I don't have any faith? No. Does that mean when we prayed for my grandfather when he had to have both of his legs amputated because of gangrene and real bad disease, does that mean somehow that we didn't have any faith? No. What that means is that God is working his plan and we may not understand everything that he's doing, but what he's saying, everything that you're doing, commit it to me and you'll understand everything that I'm doing in that moment. Commit to the Lord. Everything you do will make your plan succeed. And then finally, all that I am. So all that I do, all that I have, all that I am. So those are the three boxes that I just felt like God was saying, are you checking those boxes? But this one was important. And this could be the burden of what I'm feeling today for this congregation. There's a lot of confusion and chaos right now about identity. Okay, my wife's... I cannot believe some of the stories that she's telling about the license that we have given to children to create their own imagination and what they want to be or who they think they are. And you know what's interesting? The other day I read a Journal of American Medicine report. It said that all of the pronouns and all of the stuff can be related back to two words, male and female. Duh! And they said all of these words go back to the origins of those two things. And I thought, God is so amazing in his design. And yet we have allowed a generation of children to just run off to think, it's called solipsism, if you think it, therefore it is. And ladies and gentlemen, just because you think it doesn't make it absolute truth. Could have used an amen there, but okay. It's a disease. It's birthed out of hell to say, hey, whatever you think, whatever you feel, it just goes. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Because God wants you to live healthy and happy and whole. And he's got a design. All that I am. Who are you defined by, God or this world? Confusion or chaos? Identity is a big thing. Salvation is free today, and Jesus is saying, I want you to follow me. So let all that I am, Psalm 103, praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in the songs today. But that one song, man, he has been faithful all my life. He has been faithful. That is such a powerful song. I love that. So finally, here's the last idea. All of the above. So check it all. Look at it. So all that I have, all that I do, all that I am. And so I went down and God just said, hey, all of the above. Just check it off. It's your one day Sunday. God made me walk through this message before I ever preached it today. Because he said, if you're going to preach this message, I want you to tell the congregation that you had to check that last box. And I was not ready because I had some things in my heart. I was doing some things that were not pleasing to the Lord. And as Christians, we specialize in secret internal sins. The Asbury Revival, many of you may be checking this thing out, and I just want to mention this. Francis Asbury came to evangelize American colonies at the behest of the Wesley brothers, John Wesley. He rode 270,000 miles on horseback. He preached and planted Methodist churches. But most of the Methodist circuit riding preachers died before the age of 30 because of animal attacks, exposure to bad weather, and hardships of travel. Their sacrifice was a seed that died in the ground. And in the last few weeks, we're learning a lot about Francis Asbury's life. He was marked by just a white, hot spiritual fervor. He was sent to our shores by John Wesley, and this is what he wrote, Asbury. Francis Asbury said, "We must reach every section of America, especially the raw frontiers. We must not be afraid of men, devils, wild animals, or diseases. Our motto must always be forward." Like a modern-day Joshua, he possessed the land in spite of his frequent ailments. He never married because he knew the sacrificial lifestyle would be difficult for a wife. He was so loved by his Christian brothers, 20,000 people followed his coffin when he was buried in Virginia. And they followed him to the gravesite. And to this day, you could go just outside of Alexandria and find Francis Asbury's grave, where this revival is taking place with all of these young people trying to figure out, who am I? Who is God? What does he want to do in the world? The university was named after that giant of the faith. And I believe Francis Asbury would be thrilled to see young people repenting and worshiping Jesus. They're going to the altars. There's no person in charge, per se. There's no one evangelist that started it, which I love. Because we think too much of ourselves sometimes when a revival comes. And so whatever you think of that, look at 1 Chronicles 16:9. With this I close. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth so he may support those whose heart is completely his. And today, I hope you check the all the above box and say, as a word of encouragement, you're going to give an offering in a moment. I thank God for that. But more importantly, give your life. Give your life to Jesus. Little boy in Kentucky, his dad was the pastor and the offering plates were being passed, and he realized he's standing up on the chair on the front row and the offering plate goes by and it was just sitting on the pew and he had no money to give. So he's just a little dude. So he just stepped into the offering plate. And he just looked up at his dad and said, "It's all I got. It's me. It's all I got." And I think today, God is saying, if that's what you have, give it to me. I'll bless it. I'll bless the offering, but I want to bless your life. God wants to use you. Speaking of God using you, I want to introduce you to a little girl. Her name is Rika, and she lives in the Philippines. Several years back, we were able to meet Rika, and we walked into her community where she lived with her parents, and this is kind of part of her story, so check this out. If it doesn't work, we'll move on. Got it? Awesome. Thank you, guys.
We are a family of 5 siblings. My mother is pregnant with her 6th child. Life has been very difficult for us. Our house is cramped and covered with just a plastic roof. We get soaked whenever it rains, and it is next to a smelly drainage. My father used to have a steady job, but now all he gets are small odd jobs. Some days he tries to sell packets of spices. All we had to eat was rice with salt and water. Sometimes we could add soy sauce. We live a difficult life. My husband worked long hours but could not earn enough. We could only afford to buy half or just a quarter of the amount of rice that we need. Sometimes my husband and I would not eat just so our children could. It was very hard. I feel sad and cry when I thought of my brothers and sisters. They had nothing to eat, and we often went to bed with empty stomachs. It is difficult because we could not sleep. I would lay awake at night, thinking of things to do to make money. The night is long when you cannot sleep. They can't withstand hunger. They would ask for more food, but we don't have any food left to give. It seemed nothing would ever change. But then it did. Rika was elected to be part of the children's feeding program with Kamboy of Hope. Kamboy of Hope helps us in so many ways. They give us food bags and groceries. From Monday to Friday, they serve rice porridge and egg. Sometimes fruit like bananas or fried fish fritters. We'll even have chocolate rice porridge. I'm happy for my brothers and sisters because we all have nutritious food. They give us enough for all of us to eat. The feeding program helps us so much without expecting anything in return. Kamboy of Hope has helped the kids with their studies, provided blankets, thrown Christmas parties, and made sure we have what we need. Sometimes I volunteer so I can give back to the organization that has changed our lives. I want to be a teacher because I want to help the children in the streets who are just like me. Just keep going. Keep fighting. As long as we're living, we can keep going. Kamboy of Hope has changed my life. My family is much happier, and so am I. And now, I am able to sleep.
Just bow your heads with me as we close. Your pastor's going to come in just a minute. And I want to just thank the kids, man. You guys have endured this service. Probably not got a whole lot out of it, but I hope some of you have, and at least the heart of what we are doing, but really the heart of what you're doing through Convoy of Hope. So I want to say thank you. God bless you. Thank you for trusting us to do the work that Jesus has called us to do. God sees you today. Every one of you. He sees you. He loves you. He knows where you are, and He knows what you need. So He cares about you. He just doesn't care about a lost world or a world that is in want or need. He cares about you. And so today, get all that you can from Him, from this mountain, this moment in church today, but take Him with you, I pray. Go into the valleys. Go to those dark places and bring some light, bring some hope, bring some kindness to Conrad. Mark yourself to be a follower of Jesus. But today, we're also asking you to help us. And I want to say thank you for helping us today, because we need your help. God, thank you for this church. Thank you, Lord. This church has just got in my blood. This place, Lord, of what you're doing is so special. Thanks for letting me be part of it. To come all this way to be part of it, Lord, I would do it every time. I ask you to bless Pastor Dave and Charity, the leadership team that's leading. Give them unity. Lord, let them put massive amounts of pressure on the enemy when they love and walk in unity and power and grace. And Lord, today I just thank you for Convoy and for what you're doing through this ministry. So Lord, we love you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Can we give Jesus a big fat hand?
I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. Before we take our offering, our one-day offering, it's kind of funny. I'm going to be probably a little emotional. That's not funny. But Jeff took me to Haiti when I was just a youth pastor. That's a trip that's designed to take lead pastors to. But took me to Haiti. And at that point in time, Convoy was only feeding 91,000 people. Children, excuse me, 91,000. Corey, can you put that statistic one back up? Now they're feeding 524,000 plus children. And when we went to Haiti, it was, oh my gosh, friends, it was eye-opening. I had never been to a third world country before. And we got to Haiti, and it was 8 years after their first huge earthquake in 2010. So it was 2018. No, 2000. When was it that we went? 2014, we went. So 4 years after. And 250,000 people were killed in that earthquake and left hundreds of thousands of children orphaned, running the streets. And I kid you not, it was their water systems were just caked with garbage. And going to these orphanages, and I went to the Samaritan one. We went there, and the children, they just mob you because they are excited to see white people, I think. But it was, they would just come and hug you and thank you. And we always brought like soccer balls, and we brought suckers and candy, and it was like, but just to see what Convoy of Hope, we went to the distribution center, we drove around the whole country of Haiti and saw the farms and Convoy Hope training farmers to raise beans and rice and then buying it back from them to make these manna packs to send all over the world. And it was remarkable. And it was at that moment for me that I drank the Kool-Aid. I don't know how else to put it. I was all in for Convoy. Because it is Matthew 24 meeting Matthew 28 of what you've done unto the least of these you've done unto me. Go and make disciples, right? And it's like, and thank you for that message. And I hope that your heart received what Jeff had to say to us. And my question would be, are you all in? Are you all in? Is it all above? All the above? And it was funny when we came here as lead pastors, Jeff was one of the first people that I called, dear friend, mentor in my life. And he said, Dave, he says, I'll tell you one thing. And he said this early on. He said, make it hard for people to go to hell in Conrad. And if you go in my office, on the beam, it says that very thing. Go, just make it hard for people to go to hell in Conrad. But we also get the amazing privilege of partnering with, with Convoy of Hope, with our one day, And I kid you not, I can say this with full confidence, it does transform their everyday. It does. Last year we gave $7,500. That filled a semi trailer full of life-giving necessity and stuff, supplies somewhere. It could have been right there in Red Lodge, Montana with the flooding. I was talking to the elders about that. You remember that? And I said, that could be our offering. That could be our one day right there in Montana, or it could be in Syria. It could be wherever. But we have an opportunity to make a difference. And I don't know about you, but I am blessed. And I believe wholeheartedly that God has blessed me to be a blessing to somebody else. And I believe that that's His desire for us as New Life. We get an opportunity to change somebody's life that they probably will never ever get to meet. Until one day, maybe when we're standing in heaven and somebody comes running up and says, thank you. I don't know how that'll work. But I know this. I know that my church family loves people, and my church family wants to make a difference. And so I'm going to ask the ushers to come. We're going to receive our offering. And again, if you're making out a check, make it out to New Life. We'll make one check out. It makes it easier for us and for Convoy. If you can't give today, anytime during the week, you could go to the website. You could go to the church app. You could give that way, or next Sunday, we'll give you another opportunity. But let's make a difference, can we? Let me pray. Father, thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for you blessing New Life Fellowship Church, blessing this family of believers, Lord God. I thank you for the children. Oh my gosh, the life in this church is amazing, from the youngest to the oldest. And Lord, as we are generous and give of our one day salary to bless somebody else and to transform their everyday, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that it would go to just meet the needs wherever that is, Lord God. That you would multiply it exponentially, Lord God, to bless those and to meet needs as Convoy goes out and meets the needs all over the world, Lord God. We're so thankful for Convoy and the people that give their lives to this. People that we will probably never ever meet, Lord God, but we get to be a part of something bigger than us. Lord, thank you for your blessing. Lord, thank you for your love. And thank you for the ability to bless others because you first blessed us. And it's in your precious and holy Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen and amen.